It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. News came this week that a contractor who works for the same company where Edward Snowden was employed, Booz Allen Hamilton, allegedly stole classified computer code designed to hack the networks of foreign governments. 51-year-old Harold T. Martin of Maryland is the suspect in the case, and he was secretly arrested by the FBI in August. Michael Schmidt is a reporter for the New York Times and has been looking at the story. Michael, what kind of information did this contractor apparently take home without permission?
It was primarily code, sort of the secret ingredients that the NSA uses to break in to foreign governments, sort of the backbone, sort of the tools of what they do. This is different than Edward Snowden, who took the documents that basically described what the NSA was doing.
We hear people talk about the Snowden effect, not just in terms of how countries think about U.S. firms dealing with user data, but the possibility that new whistleblowers might come forward with information on U.S. spy agency data collection. Does this case fit that bill?
Well, I think there's something interesting going on is where the Obama administration has really tried to crack down on these type of leakers. They've really gone after leakers a lot. The difference is that they have had a ton of them as well. There was Chelsea Manning with WikiLeaks, you know, Snowden, and now there's this. So despite these efforts to deter these people, this is still going on, and it's going on with massive amounts of information.
And do we have a sense of this guy's motive?
We don't. And that's something that the authorities are still trying to figure out. I don't think they think he's politically motivated in the way that Snowden was, who basically did this to really take a stand and really try and expose things. They're not sure why he did what he did.
Booz Allen Hamilton does a lot of contracting business with the NSA. Is this going to impact that?
Well, the thing is that Snowden worked for Booz Allen as well. So now this is the second time in 3 years that the NSA has an insider that worked for Booz Allen that has taken a bunch of classified information. And there had been calls previously to prevent companies like Booz Allen from working for the NSA and doing highly classified things. And it seems like that debate will come anew. People on Capitol Hill, lawmakers, are going to say, why is this company that we've had such problems with still working with the NSA?
Michael Schmidt, he's a reporter for the New York Times and has been working on this story. Michael, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
What's next? Harold Martin was charged in a Baltimore district court. Schmidt says that the case could go to trial as early as this spring. You may remember a few weeks back we talked to a designer at the software company Autodesk. He had helped build a 3D prosthesis for a cyclist competing in the Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro. First of its kind. Well, guess what? That cyclist, Denise Schindler, won a silver medal for Germany. She's on the line to talk a little bit more about her experience. Denise, a lot of people know what it's like to ride a bike, but riding a bike with a prosthesis for the lower part of your right leg must be really different.
It's absolutely different because you're definitely not in a typical balance than a normal rider is with two legs who have the same power output.
Okay.
And as well, the shape of the limb changes, becoming stronger and bigger. And that means that the prosthesis isn't not fitting anymore. So yeah, it's always like trying to keep everything in balance.
You said that there's a difference in power for the limb that is using a prosthesis. Do you feel like that limb is more powerful or less powerful?
Of course, the side where I have a normal leg is more powerful.
Uh-huh.
I'm able to build up more muscles in the lower limb.
Why did you end up choosing to use a 3D printed prosthesis in the Olympic Games?
The main benefit was the new shape that we've been able to produce with it. You have to imagine if a normal prosthesis was built in the past, I don't have the chance if the plaster is destroyed. I can't go back. And with the everything in the cloud and in the software from Autodesk, we are able to go back and to go forward.
Mm.
So that's a big thing towards doing a better prosthesis.
What other kinds of technology are you looking into incorporating into your routine or into your training schedule?
We have like a measurement system, which I'm using for when I'm riding my bike all the time. So I'm measuring my watts, which I'm producing, so I can find out how good is my imbalance. In the end, it's the key to success.
What is your hope for the future of prosthetic limbs generally?
Right now, honestly, the sports prosthesis and equipment is just available for Paralympic athletes because we are sponsored. We have different kind of budgets that we use or that we are available or available to us. So I think this will open up prosthesis to everyone in the future because the costs are much lower than they are in a handcrafted way.
Denise Schindler, she's a professional cyclist. Denise, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, too, for your time.
And ever tried to get yourself into or out of a wetsuit? Surfers know. That thick, rubbery stuff keeps you warm, but it's kind of heavy. Researchers at MIT have a new idea inspired by a distant, super distant freshwater cousin of the saltwater surfer. Yep, the beaver. Part-time on water, part-time on land, very little blubber, but their fur traps bubbles, and those bubbles create insulation from the cold. Researchers found that it's all about hair spacing and bubble catching. Enter a beaver-inspired, MIT-made furry rubber textile that could someday soon be the go-to material for surfers. Hairy wetsuits, brought to you by technology. Want to see the video? Yeah, you do. Facebook.com/MarketplaceTech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.